Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
Herzlich willkommen zum Metal.de Podcast, der Podcast über Heavy Metal und allem, was dazugehört. Am Mikro begrüßt euch euer Gastgeber Henning.
Moin moin und herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Folge des Metal.de Podcast. Diese Woche bringen wir euch ein Gespräch mit der Band Massive Wagons. Ich habe mit Sänger Barry und Gitarrist Adam gesprochen. Das Ganze hat stattgefunden in München. Das war der erste Gig ihrer Deutschland-Tournee im Vorprogramm von Thunder. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß beim Hören und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Alright, here we go. So, we just said treading water. I mean, you've been around for now 10 years. Is there, you know, when I listened to the stuff you said yesterday with Earache, you said that it was like a godsend and you had the feeling that they really picked up, you know, and then things were moving forward and now, you know, looking what you have accomplished, I have to say they've probably done their job extremely well.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
No question.
Things are taking off and stuff like that. Is that because I found that very funny yesterday when you said, well, you know, everybody is complaining about labels and record companies and stuff like that. And then, you know, if you have like the right match,
yeah,
they can really do something for you. There's still some kind of plan, master plan, belief in you guys.
Okay, well, labels don't exist without bands, you know. So, but of course, why would a label... If a label wants to continue existing, a label needs its bands to be successful. I mean, that's how it works, isn't it? And that's no different from Earache and us. You know, we want to be successful, and Earache want us to be successful because it makes them successful. You know, and everybody wins.
Our albums are their product to sell. So you can't... A good business should understand what they sell and should... Well, you'd hope like what they sell, you know, believe in it. And we got the feeling that Earache did. They do, you know. They do get what we're about, and they understand what we're trying to achieve. So,
I mean, some bands have been burned by labels, by bad labels. But there are bad in everything, you know. There's bad bands, there's bad everything in life. We just believe we found, like you said, we've got a great partnership with Earache. And we think we didn't take the decision to sign with them lightly. It took months.
Did you have other offers on the table? I think you read your interview.
We did, but nothing. Earache were always the ones that, I mean, for years ago, where they seemed like the label, like, oh, Earache could be, they seem to do really well for their bands, you know. They don't have a huge roster, you know. They have,
and they started off as something completely different.
But I mean, they took something that was very, very outside and non-mainstream,
exactly,
and made it successful. You know?
Right.
So that in itself is a huge achievement. You know, that means they do.
It's a little like what we believe they're doing with us. I mean, the Earache label fans. A lot of them don't like what they're doing now. You're bothering with all these rock bands, you know, what's all this rubbish? But then you think back and you think, well, they're only doing exactly the same for us, for what they did for the bands that you love back in the days. It's the same.
Exactly.
They're taking a risk on something.
Absolutely.
And you know, we recognize that, and they're brilliant. I think it's great.
They're based in the UK, right? And they have offices, I think, in the States as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So Are there plans for you guys to go to the States? Is that something you felt like?
Well, they mentioned, but they very wisely suggested that we concentrate on the UK
right.
for the beginning, you know. Because
right.
I think you should, because if you cast your net too wide, I don't know if you know this expression, but it's...
Yeah, I know. Focus
on one place.
Spread your...
Yeah, yeah.
Yourself too thin.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we you know, I think you should be successful at home
right.
and then start looking at other places.
Right.
So I think they're doing that. But they've mentioned it, but obviously with the logistical things that come with going to America, you need, you know, you need money there and you need...
It's a different world, isn't it?
It's totally different.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky. I think we're so lucky being on the doorstep of Europe, because Europe is rock and metal in Germany and
yeah.
a lot of European countries.
It's a great
still so
to,
thriving.
To, yeah,
thriving, isn't it?
Yeah,
people are enthusiastic about it.
Very loyal.
Yeah,
German
yeah.
fans are very, very... I mean, you can see it with Thunder,
yeah.
you know, and stuff like that. I remember when I bought that record in the 80s. And now they're still around, they're touring here, and I think they're just a loyal fan base in Germany.
Mm.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I have a little I have a huge... There's a guy, Chris Zinzak, who does an American podcast, and he is the biggest fan of you guys. I'm just gonna play that because I actually suggested to him that why don't we do it together, and I phone you in on Skype, but he's on a day. But he's... And it's a pretty big podcast, so I'm just gonna play that. Chris, I hope you...
Okay.
You're going to be familiar with this band because they were my number two album of the year last year. Talk about a
They're
band
based in Nashville.
Masked Wagons.
They're awesome.
These guys are my new obsession. I mean, I cannot stop playing their 2018 album, Full Nelson. It's just... I play this more than I do the Priest album. It's filled with catchy hooks, incredible guitar tone. It's just a perfect recipe for your ears. It's just a fantastic record.
Well,
and even their other albums are really great, too. This band... This is a band that should be humongous right now.
Yeah.
And they have everything going for them. And I think you're going to love this. This is Massive Wagons doing a song called Tokyo.
So, there you go.
Tom, man.
Yeah, he's great. And you know, so I'm going to put him in touch with, I think, probably Niels, you know, the PR,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
maybe you can say it, because he's waving the flag.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's
like,
talk to the guy. Yeah, that'd be great.
And so, you know, whatever happens in the States or further down the road, you definitely have one huge supporter
in
Nashville.
Well, this is what we've always been of the philosophy that if you can get one supporter like this, then there's no reason why it's...
But that's
so
how
many
it
more
always
people,
happened,
yeah.
you know, like in the 80s or something, you have like somebody at the record company who just flipped the
yeah, yeah.
to the B-side and then,
yeah.
you know. So that's how it works, and I think that, you know, maybe something will work out. I read in an interview with you, you're a huge Stephen Wilson fan.
Yes, yeah.
That's interesting, because I'm a huge Stephen Wilson
yeah.
fan. So how does that, I mean, your history with your parents, I think it was, you mentioned that you were listening to or exposed to all these AOR, 80s, hard rock, or how did your parents shape that?
Well, I think all of us were came from a similar background in that. I know Baz's dad.
We definitely came from a guitar. All we came from guitar.
Dire Straits was your...
Yeah, Dire Straits.
Yeah.
Country music as well, really. Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, I'm quite similar. My dad's actually here tonight.
Is
yeah,
he?
He's flown out because he's like, oh, first German show, I'm going to come and see this.
Well, that's good. Your parents have been...
Oh yeah, but
supportive.
not in a kind of band dad way, you know. If that
okay.
makes sense, you know, they've been kept a cool distance, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, oh, they've been so supportive of all our lives, you know, of music and.
Are they musicians? I mean, is that where you?
Baz's dad is. My parents aren't musicians.
Okay.
It's funny because the village where the town we come from, my dad is played in bands, but
right.
not Adam's immediate family, but Adam's extended family. He's got a big family where we're from, and my dad's played in bands with a lot of members of his family.
Really?
Over the years gone by, yeah. He's a great uncle and cousin and things like that.
But I guess the it's something that me and my dad share with prog music. I guess it started with Rush, really. We love Rush, and then
started, Rush in the '80s.
Well, I love 80s Rush. Yeah, yeah.
Paul Windows. Is...
Yeah. See, I like Basil Got to Sleep Now.
No.
I like
no, not at all.
No, I like all the eras, but yeah, the 80s had something. I thought that was cool, like Hold Your Fire and
right.
Yeah, I love it. But then we started listening to Porcupine Tree and started exploring more progressive.
So you do
material.
That together.
We go. Yeah, no one else will come with us, you know.
So, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of our thing. No. But Stephen Wilson, I think he's amazing. The last Raven that refused to sing Raven. And Hand Cannot Erase.
Yeah.
It opened my eyes to some new music, you know.
Because you said you like the textures in terms of production. I mean, has that? And if we're talking about production, I mean, you're especially in the last record is just like ridiculous. I mean, it's like. So huge. Is that something that feeds into that? If you kind of in the studio and you have like this scope.
I mean, we've worked the last couple of albums. We've worked with a guy called Matt Ellis, who's been a massive part of our sound.
Right.
He owns the studio. He knows his gear. I guess on this Full Nelson album, we all came in with a bit more of an input to the production.
Right.
But we've learned a lot, you know. I think the guitars sound very good.
Sound amazing.
Because they're quite clean, you know. We don't.
Right.
It's not just turning up and loud,
right.
We back off a little bit, and it gives the song room to breathe. And
it sounds analog almost.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
It sounds very dynamic.
Warm.
Very
dynamic. Yeah, that's a good word. You know, it's not compressed. Crazy compression.
No, I think in that respect, I think it stands out. I think it stands out if you listen to it, if you listen to all the stuff on Spotify, just stuff. I mean, there's the lyrics, it stands out because of the lyrics, and I like what you said yesterday in the podcast, where it's like, yeah, all the chicks and booze, and we're behind that, we've done that, lyric-wise. I think that's a big thing, and then it just sounds different.
That's very cool.
Just sounds...
There's little things like... We spent a whole day at the end of most of the album was recorded, all the guitars, vocals, everything big.
Right.
We spent a day just listening to it and going, thinking like things like tambourine and shakers and just small guitars, very subtle acoustic guitars, and put it all on. And in some parts of the song, you don't even know it's there. It's not obvious.
Right.
But if you took it away, it would go. Flat, you know.
Right.
So this is something we've learned, and loads of bands that we play with, you know, at our level,
right,
don't do this, you know. Right. They just don't think to try. It's like, just try it, you know.
Do you take it and put it on small speakers? I know that a lot of musicians just put it in the car, and if it sounds great in the car or on a Bose, do you do that, or you have like the full studio?
We generally take it away and give a copy to each other.
Everything.
Headphones.
As much as possible, yeah.
Right.
On a laptop. On laptop speakers. Because how many people listen on laptops?
Yeah,
now, you know.
Yeah.
So this is what Stephen Wilson is about, isn't it, really? You know, because
exactly.
He's smashing iPods and all that. But, I think you can look too far into things like this. Because... quite a lot of people don't really care, you know.
But I think, like you said, the subtle stuff, I mean, it just makes the dynamic change, you know, and it's just something that I think people will recognize, and it just makes the record stand out.
Mm.
You need to stand out. You need to stand out, don't you? There's so many great bands, and so much competition, is it? But there's so many other great bands, and to be able to create your own sound and style is the ultimate goal, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's fun, you know. It's fun to go, oh, what if we try this acoustic guitar? What if we take all, you know, a 12-string acoustic guitar? What if we take all the big strings off and then try this and try playing exactly. that? See what this sounds like. Exactly. You know, you get creative and
right.
I think it's hard to do something new now because it's all been done, you know. But in our genre of rock, no one's doing this kind of thing, you know. Be a bit more adventurous.
No, they don't. And I think that, you know, vocal wise, you know, the same thing in the lyrics, you know, I think it has a very different twist. The artwork is amazing.
Oh, it is.
You know, you talked about that, you know, it's just, even if you have like small, but you know, since you did vinyl and stuff like, it's just a really great package. That's, you know.
Well, yeah, and it comes from our influences. When things are on vinyl, it is a package, isn't it? On vinyl, it's big and it's much more than just the music, isn't it?
And I you know, you mentioned it in the other part. I bought records just because of vinyl, just because of the output.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it looked great. You know, I bought Whitesnake 1987 just because I loved the artwork. I didn't even know. You know, and then you just look at it, and then obviously a lot is cheesy from the 80s, but it's just really, it's really important.
Yeah,
you know? And I like what Stephen Wilson's doing there. He's really putting a lot of effort on the package and all that, and it pays off.
Well, he goes into things like the paper, the certain, it's got to be this kind of paper in the booklet, and you know, that level of detail is just...
And then it just triggers down to merchandise. I mean, if you have like an artwork like you have now, I mean, it just looks...
Hmm.
Cool on a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah, it's a whole package. I mean, everything from that to the live thing. We've started paying more attention to our live show, you know. No pyrotechnics or anything, but the big backdrop and coordinating what we wear, things like that. You know.
Do you change set lists to in terms of country and who you're supporting with, you know, like if you go out with Wild Hearts or Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, the big or Thunder, does that change for you guys, or you just know what you want to?
I definitely think hit? I mean we played with Blackberry Smoke a few months ago,
right?
We definitely make a conscious effort to maybe tailor the set somewhat, you know. I don't want to put people off, but I mean...
But not second guessing yourself.
They're all our songs, exactly. So I don't see why we can't do that. They're all our songs, and you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we played Bloodstock in 2014, so yeah, we played some heavier songs of our own. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, because it's Bloodstock. But yeah. But no, we always play the singles, no matter who we're playing to, and the stuff that's going down well, yeah. I mean, yeah. But we're finding our feet a lot more, playing with bands that we play with well, we play with the Wild Arts. I mean, we can play anything to those guys because they love everything.
Have you played with Thunder before?
No, never played with Thunder, no.
That's a good matchup.
That's very cool of you to say, because they're legitimately a huge influence on us, you know.
Oh, like, yeah.
From years ago, before we were even in a band, you know, we liked
Thunder. I saw them at Sweden Rock, I think it was like 2 years ago, as a fan. And I was just like, wow. Still have it.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Danny Ball's voice just gets better with... It makes you sick, doesn't it?
Oh, it's
just incredible.
I had the same feeling when I saw John Waite in a tiny club near
Nevada. Oh, right.
It was
John
like
Waite,
50 people, and he came out, he looked, sounded just like bad English or stuff like that, and I was like, huge grin on my face. It's just amazing. You have these people like Glenn Hughes.
Yeah.
You know, we just, I don't know why they don't age vocal-wise, you know. It's
John Waite's actually from our town.
Where we live,
from Lancaster.
Yeah, he's big. I mean, that's still, I think it's great that, you know, people, like I said, you know, Germany is a big market for that.
We consider ourselves extremely lucky because there was sooner or later we had to make our way into Europe, and to be able to come here for the first time rather than come here on our own and hope for the best and get people in. We're coming with a band like Thunder, so
it's awesome.
It couldn't be better.
No,
for us.
I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect because probably, you know, the audience is going to be my age group, you know, mid 40s, you know, 40, And they're just gonna eat you up. I think it's just gonna be very.
That's cool.
You know, I think German audience, you know, they're very, they're listening and they're very loyal and they're very, you know, they're not American crazy, but I think they're just very receptive.
I mean, a big thing that we've taken from a band like Thunder and Status Quo and the Wild Hearts, they've all cultured these amazing super duper loyal fan bases.
Status Quo was huge in Germany. Huge.
And he's got such loyal fans. They just stick by them through everything.
Yeah.
Go to all the gigs.
Yeah.
And that's what we have set out from day one, to try and to embrace our fan base and just be like that with everybody. You
and
know?
I think you're gonna see that the plans you are now doing here in Germany, that it's gonna pay off. You know, with really, you know, the records to follow and all that, and I think that's perfect. I think that's
really, really excited about it. This is, it's so glad to come here. It's, we've really been looking forward to this. So it's, the UK is amazing, but it seems to, rock and metal seems to thrive in Europe, doesn't it? It's still,
yeah.
It's still a big part of people's lives. It, you know,
yeah, I think. I mean, speaking for myself, because I was that guy in the 80s and 90s. I think, as a fan, you didn't have that many bands coming through Germany because people were making more money going playing in the UK or in the US.
Yeah,
and I think we were always a little bit starving. And then, you know, but the thing is, the people still listen to the records, and it gets passed on to the next generation. And now all these people come to Germany because it's such a healthy market business-wise, and we're still buying physical products, and we love our merchandise, and we.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it just pays off now. Now everybody's going to all the shows and all the stuff.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And for a band like us to be able to, the aim is to become, well, we've been touring the UK relentlessly for years, to be able to go, eventually be able to go from different places,
right.
You know, then you're not saturating
Italy,
the UK
same.
With the same.
Italy's Scandinavia is huge.
Yeah.
You
so
know.
Many great bands from that part
and,
of the world,
and,
rock
yeah.
bands.
Yeah.
It's like you said before about America, that's always, you know, that would be amazing, but it's always been Europe that's excited
right.
me, you know,
right.
personally anyway. I've always liked the idea of coming out. Places
Europe
and
Japan,
I think Japan
would be amazing to go there.
Wuhan.
Yeah. Well, that's like another. It's like another planet. Isn't
yeah,
it Japan.
Is.
It's
it is
completely different.
So, how's the market in the UK? I mean, in terms of, I mean, there's so much stuff coming out of there. Is it competitive? Is there like a scene where you have to be in London, or can you like exist outside
no.
that bubble?
In the UK is not very big, really, you know. But, I mean, this is one thing that bands, emerging bands, don't seem to have to do that we did. I mean, you had to get a gig in London, you know, you had to play in London.
Right.
And that meant going down on a Wednesday
right.
to play at 7 o'clock
right.
to three people
right.
and then drive home, you know. It's
and
like,
it's like a 4-hour
yeah,
five
yeah,
hour
five
drive.
Hour. You just have to do it. You,
right.
you have to start somewhere.
Right.
So I think sometimes bands now aren't prepared to
invest that.
Well, they don't want to, because we were completely new at this.
Right.
We didn't know anything else, you know, so it was like, yeah, let's go to London, you know, and it was amazing and it was great, but people who've come from other bands and formed a new project, they don't seem to be prepared to start at that point again. They want
right.
to jump a few steps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, guys, you know, you've got to fucking
put
your
work.
Time.
Yeah.
But the bands that do, and I think there's quite a few bands now that have sort of risen above.
Right.
Amongst those bands like Stonebroken, I don't know if you know these guys, label mates of ours,
okay.
a band called Those Damn Crows.
Okay.
You know, there's a real, real good vibe at the moment. Yeah, exciting new music with a good live show.
Right.
You know, and it's getting people out to gigs again. You know,
in the last sort of year, the mainstream charts, so many charts in the rock chart and whatnot. The main big album chart in the UK. There's been a few of us, bands that have managed to get into that chart.
Right.
And, you know, over the last year, there's sort of three or four bands that have managed to get in there, and I think that's a really positive sign, you know.
Right.
and it's there's definitely a scene and a movement, without a doubt. Yeah.
So do you see like it's like passing on the torch from the big, or is that something they just have their own thing going?
I don't think like that really. I don't like the term classic rock, to be honest. You know, people say, "Oh, classic rock band, Massive Wagons," and it's like, well, we're just five guys writing the music we want to write. You know, yeah, we like all these bands, but we like a lot of new bands. I mean, bands like Oasis and you know, indie bands, and I quite like the Arctic Monkeys. I think they're interesting. Muse, you know.
Yeah.
They're just guys who write music, you know. Right. And I think we're the same. Only the music we write seems to get lumped in with the, you know, classic rock.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think it should. I don't think it's a healthy thing to be
pigeonholing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know.
Because when you pigeonholed, you start to do something different. You start to turn your hardcore fans off sometimes, don't you?
I know.
You think, oh, they go, what are they doing? Oh, they've changed. They're not doing this anymore. It's not the same old.
But we never said
you made us this.
Exactly.
we just want to be creative in some way and keep it interesting for us and everybody else.
Yeah.
This isn't to say we're going to record a jazz album or anything. That's not what I mean. But
no, I think it's interesting. You know, you said that because I think that's a valid point. You know, and I think in Germany, you know, if you look like Scorpions or Accept and all that, there's not a real next generation, because I think they all get lumped into that classic rock.
Yeah,
thing,
which is
know?
A shame. Well, because we've always said the Scorpions are a band that we love their energy. You know, the energy of the Scorpions. They play with a smile and I don't know. They're just fun. They're just a fun band.
Yeah,
you know, we take a lot from them. So yeah, I mean, they're a big influence on us.
We don't take things too seriously.
Yeah, I think we Germans tend to take things a little bit too serious. Especially when you're a musician, you know, there's always, you know, it has to be perfect, and it's just not very, it just needs that, you know, just taking a piss.
Yeah,
you know, and just can't be off with certain things. And I think that's something that, you know, maybe the next generation will come off, you know.
But then again, there's bands like Edguy.
Yeah.
Who were...
Yeah, the power metal thing is definitely, yeah.
But they don't take things too seriously. They've got serious songs, but then...
Yeah, they're a couple.
Lavatory Love Machine and all this, you know.
And then there's Rammstein, you know, and stuff like that. But they're just like a modern-day Kiss thing, so... You know, and I think they don't take themselves too seriously, although everybody believes they do, so
that's
a good marketing stunt.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Hey, no,
thank you very much. Cheers.
And love the record and hope for a great show and great tour. And next time you're here, we'll
catch
up. Speak again.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for talking
to us.
Bye-bye.
It.